again, going to start doing more lives. I'm going to have an opportunity in between travel to do more lives. And I'm going to be launching my, it's still going, but getting some new videos on my YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Maybe longer form than the shorter 45 second to minute and a half to going a little more in depth, which I always enjoy.
Yeah. It'd be cool that if you had like a podcast too. That'd be awesome. I'd listen to a 2-hour podcast.
Okay.
Because I tend to like do, you know, like cleaning or walking, and I'll listen to a podcast. So I like those long forms too. So.
Me too. Me too. So they're fun to talk about too.
Yes. Well, thank you, Gitchy Miigwech. Thank you so much for being here. Your presence is so such a blessing, and I'm just thankful to call you my friend, James Vukelich Kagagabo Miigwech.
Hapajigo Miigwech. It's so good to see you, Gaytabik.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
Miigwech. Thank you.
So and we'll much. Have you back soon.
This is Twin Cities Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming and archived at kfai.org. Always a breath of fresh air.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're coming to you from Macho Hodus, which is the Twin Cities here. Just a little Ho-Chunk there thrown in there, and I'm Robert Pilot bringing you the American Native American news updates, voices from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and all across Turtle Island. And today we have a special guest, and I really mean that in a good way. Our friend Hunter, and Hunter and I are going to have a long conversation here about a lot of things here, but Hunter Thundercloud is our relative, and we're going to bring him on in just a minute here, and we're going to talk about his visions, his business, his way to help our community heal. And it's going to be a special show, and we're going to have a surprise too. We're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up in collaboration with Native Roots Radio. And so we're really, really excited to talk about this and to talk about the great work that he's doing. And also, I really want to talk about his vision, and his vision is I don't have words for it. His vision is something our community needs in such a big way. As you know, I've been in recovery for 41 years, and I had 41 years in November, and so it's going to be a great discussion. And Hunter, I'm going to add you right to the show right now and give you a big ahoo, and thank you so much for coming on and talking about these very important things, Hunter. Hunter Thundercloud, thank you so much for coming on. Okay, we don't have any audio, Hunter. But see what we can do there. Keep on talking, and in a good way. But, you know, there's so much going on in Indian country across Turtle Island, and a lot of it's bad, a lot of it's good, and you know, Hunter and I. Go ahead, Hunter. Can you say something there?
Yeah, I can.
There you are. Right on. Hey, I can hear you. It's a Christmas miracle. It's a Christmas miracle. Great to see you, Hunter. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to talk about your vision and what's going on here. And we talk about so many different things on Native Roots Radio, but it's always great to be able to talk about something totally positive that you are presenting to the community and have been working on. Thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. I mean, I've been on here a few times now, and I like it every time. My first time, I was really nervous. Now I feel like I'm getting the hang of it. But yeah.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about the wellness project, or do we want to give everyone a tease about the big information that's going to be happening with a collaboration with Native Roots Radio coming up it would be the 7th of January. So do we want to tease everyone, or should we get right into that?
I mean, I like to just get into things, you know. I'm not a teaser. I like to get in, finish, you know. I like to complete projects that I start, you know. Sometimes it takes longer than I think it's going to take, but
yeah. Well, you are a carpenter, and so that makes total sense. Finishing carpenters are very hard to find good ones. So, yeah, let's talk about our collaboration, Hunter.
Well, you know, I came on a few times, and Robert really, maybe he didn't convince me, but he definitely pushed me or nudged me into suggesting maybe we should do a podcast to get information out and talk about issues that need to be talked about, you know, whether it's recovery or wellness. You know, we call our program Thundermaker Wellness Center because we believe it's not just about addiction, it's wellness in a lot of forms, spiritual, monetary, social. I mean, we're really looking to rebuild our communities in a lot of ways, you know, and to me, culture is the thing that is going to connect us, you know, that will be the foundation of everything we do, you know, that's wellness is probably the main focus on the podcast we'll be talking about. So it won't only be about addiction recovery. It'll be about, you know, food even. So it's exciting. I mean, but it sounds like, yeah, the first show will be January 7th.
Yeah. And it'll be right after Native Roots Radio. So we'll go right into it. They're preempting the show afterwards, after my show. And then what I want to try and do is get it out to our affiliates too. So we'll definitely give that a big shot and get it out to our other affiliates too. But it'll be a live radio show or taped live, or it'll be live on AM 950. But we'll send it out in all our different forms, you know, our TikToks and all the things out there that people will be able to listen to. And we'll be pumping it out, promoting it, the clips, and also the whole show all over Turtle Island. So we're going to get big coverage, and I'm excited to really amplify what you're doing, because what you're doing for the community and for Turtle Island specifically, our native community, it needs to be talked about and really needs to be amplified. And I can't wait. You know, we already have one of the shows in the can, and we're going to be doing more shows. And so I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, and we're building out a podcast studio out here in Arizona, which is really exciting. It'll be nice to not have a mic issue right when I start, you know. We'll come in and be able to talk, you know, focus on issues. And, you know, for me, it's, I want to focus on the positivity, you know, the solution. You know, I think most people do know the problems, and we'll talk about those, but it won't always be the main focus. What are the solutions that actually do exist? Because I think there are many of them. And I think there are a lot of people in Indian country that are part of the solution and that are making the difference. And, you know, one of the things I think we don't even talk about within addiction, we also have one of the highest sober rates out of anyone when it comes to ethnic populations. Native Americans have the most sober people. I mean, that's also because maybe we have the most people in addiction, but that shows that a lot of people do have success rates and are able to go back and heal themselves. I mean, and I think this is a problem that will take generations to really heal. I mean, we're coming from a place that really was designed to kill us.
You know,
so that means it's going to take a lot of work, but it's the positive work that makes this meaningful and exciting. I mean, it's rebuilding communities is exciting, even though it's hard. I mean, seeing success and people grow, that's the best part of life, is the human connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about this as a spiritual disease. And what you're doing is you're bringing our spirits back, because, you know, with genocide of Native communities, you know, we've lost out a couple generations, you know, and we have to regain that. Hey, we're here with Hunter Thundercloud, and we're talking, and he's the founder of Thundermaker Wellness, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
Who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations, and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice, and for generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much. And it's funny, I just want to, that ad, it was an old ad that just was played, and I just want to give a big shout-out and a big peenie-geegee for everyone that supported Native Roots Trading Post and also Wendy's Market at Southdale. Thank you so much, a big peenie geegee. You got that wild rice and you got all the art and things like that. The last day Heck painting went for $300, and that was excellent that you're supporting artists all across Turtle Island. And it just tickles our heart here at Native Roots Radio that you support us. Hey, we are here with Hunter Thundercloud, and we are talking a good talk here, as we usually do, about community, you know, and what makes community. Hunter, thanks again for coming on. Okay, something I muted you this time. Oh,
yeah, you did.
There we go. That was my bad. Hey, by the way, you're sounding really good.
Great. It's the headphone, you know, it helps.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about your journey. I really think it's important to hear this, you know, how far you've come and where you're from. And let's talk about, you know, maybe the struggles you had and what changed and how you became sober.
It's a long journey, you know. It started as a teenager, you know. It started out as maybe trying to have fun, it wasn't trying to have fun. It was trying to escape, you know, trying to feel okay. And especially when I look at it now, I mean, I think I had a great childhood, you know, and my parents did a great job. The environment I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, born and raised. I lived there until I was 31, until I came out to rehab. You know, I think I was successful in lots of things in life, but my personal life was always complicated because of my addiction. I got my first DUI when I was 18 in high school, second one at 22, third at 25. You know, I probably was arrested maybe a couple dozen times in that period. You know, and it was rough. A lot of suicidal ideations and attempts in my early 20s. I mean, you know, and a lot of it probably stemmed from not being, you know, when we talk is that the spiritual hole, you know, that I was missing something, you know, and, you know, even though I say I have a good childhood, everything wasn't perfect. You know, when I look back at it, you know, we go through some of the 12-step programming. We talk about how maybe your parents didn't do the best job and maybe there was trauma. And, you know, I'm not blaming them. It's understanding that when you do have trauma, as a healthy adult, it's my job to fix it, you know, not to pass it on to the future generations. And if we can take an honest look at maybe your life, you can see where those things happened. And, you know, I think also when you become a parent, you realize your parents probably did the best job they could, you know? And so I don't have resentments around it. And I know it's just a part of life and growth. But I think my parents are great. I have a great family. You know, both of my brother and sister also have this disease. My brother passed away from it. My sister, she's doing well, but you know, we've had these issues in our family, and it's not just me. It's a lot of people. I think even growing up, we hid a lot of it. It was, you know, we pretended maybe it didn't exist or maybe it was a phase. I mean, we knew that they knew that there's something wrong, but sometimes, you know, in a lot of our communities, when something's wrong, we don't know what to do. And that's why it's important to have resources. And, you know, different people explaining these situations, that there are people that have these things and are able to escape it and get better. You know, and you know, a lot of my addiction in the beginning, it was almost always self-destructive, you know. You know, so I got my third DUI and I, you know, was like, I can't drink anymore. I was like, I'll get a felony. You know, Wisconsin's very light when it comes to DUIs. If that would have happened in Arizona, I would have been in prison for a couple of years. You know, my first, and I didn't realize that how light it was, but I knew I didn't want a felony. So I was like, I got to quit drinking. So I got into opiates. You know, I started doing heroin around 26, 25, 26, and I did it until I was 31, until I came out to rehab. And, you know, I live in denial with lots of things. Even right now, when it comes to smoking cigarettes, I've only recently considered myself someone that smokes, and I've been smoking since I was 14. You know, I've always been like, oh no, I'm a social smoker. But that denial still lives in me.
I was told early on was denial is not a river in Egypt. Oh,
yes, exactly right. And you know, like my because I snorted heroin for a long time, and that made me feel like it was a social thing, even though I was doing it by myself often every day, you know. and it stole lots of pieces of my life. I do, you know, when I talk about having a good childhood, my parents taught me a good work ethic. They gave me a lot of healthy experiences. They were both teachers, so they were able to educate me in different ways. So I did find success, not in my personal life, but definitely in the careers I chose. I was lucky. I grew up working in houses, and I started my first business when I was 21. So I learned a lot of things, how to be a business owner throughout that time. A lot of failures. I worked for free quite a bit. I mean, I never gave up. And I think, you know, I became an entrepreneur because of my addiction. Because if I had a job, I wouldn't make it there on time, or I would be too hungover, so I would lose it anyway. So my entrepreneurial spirit has come from my addiction. It was a way to cope with myself. It was a survival mechanism. You know, I didn't like to steal. You know, there's things I didn't like to do. So I was like, if I work harder, I'll be able to buy booze and drugs.
Right. You know? I worked in a bar. So that, you know, bar/restaurant, but mostly bar.
I tried to work in a bar for a bit, you know, and they allowed me to have a tab, and so I never made money working there, you know. so I was like, anytime I had a job, it wasn't really a good job, you know. So but I came out to Prescott, Arizona to rehab. It was actually my third time going. I went as a teenager once when I was 22, and then when I was 31 and I was married, and I had a business and I was doing okay, and I owned a few houses. So, I mean, coming out to Prescott really opened my eyes. I came, the rehabs before that, because they were very clinical, they're expensive. Insurance companies only allow for a certain amount of time. And I think the longest I stayed in was 3 weeks. It's more like the short medical stabilization period, so you don't have tremors or die, or it's a safety more. Where when I came out to Prescott, they had a different model. I was here for 3 months. It was a 90-day program. My tribe assisted me with it, which I was really grateful for, especially now. I mean, I think the tribe allowed me and invested in my life. You know, financially, I wouldn't have been able probably to do it by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't. They also helped me with sober living afterwards. But even coming out here, I mean, the longer I was in some form of care for 10 months out of the 14-month period when I first started, you know, and it was hard. It was hard, and, you know, I didn't think I needed it. Or, you know, when you start to feel good, you think you're cured. And then, you know, and part of my story I always say is on day 89 in rehab, I knew I was going to be sober the rest of my life.
Hmm.
And wow. Day 91, I was doing coke and I was drinking. Yeah. And, you know, it happened so quick. But there was a part of me that knew I was going to be sober the rest of my life. And it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. Hey, we're here with Hunter Thundercloud, and we're talking about, you know, his recovery. And also, I guess next segment, I kind of want to talk about, because I always feel like, you know, that when people get sober in their own community, it's very hard. And sometimes you have to go somewhere else to get sober. So maybe we can talk a little bit about your journey in that sense, too. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Here we are with our friend Hunter Thundercloud, and we're talking about his story in recovery. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, maybe you could fill us in, because I believe it's really hard for a lot of people to sober up in their own community. Let's talk a little bit about your journey. And it sounds like that may be kind of the case, what you went through. And let me unmute you right now before I forget.
Oh, wow. There we go. I actually think getting sober is... it's definitely a personal journey, right? You know, we haven't figured out, we do know things about getting sober, and there are some things that we know that create a more successful environment. There are centers and programs out there and communities where they have really high success rates. I mean, we know that it's long-term. And the longer you're willing to work on it, the more likely you'll stay sober long-term. For me, exiting or leaving Milwaukee for a period of time was very important.
Mm.
You know, and I think it is for lots of people. You know, Prescott was kind of like a final destination for lots of people in recovery. All of my friends and my new family that I've met out here, none of them are from Prescott. I mean, they're from kind of all over the country. And it's because a lot of the times when you are trying to get sober in your own community, you have to deal with all the maybe negative things that you maybe view as yourself, or the opportunities to maybe use, you know, people. And, you know, we say people, places, and things, but maybe there isn't a strong enough 12-step community. I mean, a lot of Native communities right now are under well sobriety, but maybe mm-hmm. there isn't enough support for it. So sometimes it's important to go and heal yourself some more for a bit. The idea is to go home, but to go home when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I plan on moving back to Wisconsin someday, but, you know, when I started this project, I like to complete things. And I wanted to make sure I created something good. So when I brought it home, we know that it's a viable thing or something that we know works, you know?
And, yeah.
But sometimes getting sober is hard at home, and lots of people do it. You know, I'm a 12, I believe in 12 steps, but it's one piece of my recovery. I don't think it's the thing that will keep me sober. It's the way I've had to change my life completely, but it is hard. You know, that's why I had to leave. Every time I went home in my first year and a half, I got high or I drank or, you know, and I remember feeling like being in Prescott, because it was, I don't know where it is at now, but 8 years ago, it was probably the third largest recovery community in the country. It was the town between the Tri-Cities was right around 120,000, but there's 200 meetings a week, mm-hmm. you know, between these Tri-Cities. The access to going to meetings was very easy, you know, and the recovery was strong because of how many people were here.
Mm-hmm.
There are old timers, but because it is a transient kind of recovery community, a lot of people do go home. They go home, people that are successful, some of them go home and they relapse, they come back because they were able to do well here. And I think right around year 3 through 5, lots of people leave and never come back, and they stay sober the rest of their lives. I mean, I've seen that's like, you know, that's when they've been able to be the person that they can go home and be comfortable with saying no and making new friends and creating, being part of the community that they feel comfortable in, which is a sober community. And, you know, a lot of them, they've learned how to work and get jobs and take care of themselves, you know? So Prescott's a very unique place. You know, I haven't been to a lot of recovery places that are like this because of how small it is. You know, I mm-hmm. see rehabs in Phoenix, you know, and people, when they leave, they get lost.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because it's such a big city, you know, where Prescott's small enough, but big enough where you could get employment. It's small enough also where if something happens to you, people can find you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the risk of a big city, you know, is you can get lost in the addiction quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Thundermaker Wellness Center and how that came about and where you're at with that.
So I'm a co-founder. Aero Fundmaker helped me start it. And then also Alec Thundercloud assisted. I mean, our program was really, it's been built and designed by Ho-Chunk people, not only Ho-Chunk people, but, you know, it is the people that co-founded it have been, or are. And, you know, it started around a fire, you know. Aero worked in the recovery community, and I mean, he runs ceremony, and, you know, we were going to sweat. We have a sweat lodge here at our property, but we were sitting around the fire and we were complaining. We were upset at the system and talking about how there's got to be a better way. And, you know, I think I'm lucky because I'm one of those people that sometimes I don't think very much, you know. I'm an action person. Mm-hmm. I'm not always a thinker. So, you know, I'm like, we talked about the idea of starting something where we could have something that could heal our own people, something that was designed for us. And, you know, he's worked in rehabs, and he's like, we always have to fight to bring in culture.
Yeah.
Because most rehabs in this country are not native owned or even run.
Right.
Even the ones that are native, maybe owned or financed, doesn't mean that they're run by native people. I mean, so you still have to convince out non-native people that our ceremonies are valuable, or our culture is valuable, and that, you know, the therapeutic models are also just a piece. They're not a cure. You know, our culture is not a piece. It's the foundation.
It's, correct. Yeah.
It's the thing that we lean on. You know, we can always go back to it. And I think we're in a period where, you know, we talk about reclaiming. So a lot of those things were taken away. And to me, this mm-hmm. is the perfect place to start learning about culture and how to hold ourselves as men and women is when we're already broken down, and we've already lost, most of us have lost everything by the time we get to rehab. So it's like, why not start at a good foundation, which is our culture?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I've had these, you know, the question I really have a lot when we talk about Thundermaker is, whose culture are you teaching? Is it Ho-Chunk? Is it Lakota? Is it mm-hmm. Navajo? And, you know, I think one of the things we talk about is it's a culture of being human.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the culture of we were connected to, you know, the birds, four-legged, two-legged, right? That's what mm-hmm. we considered them as brothers and sisters and family. And the trees were alive, right? The mountains were alive. We mm-hmm. we have stone people, right?
Right.
And like when we have to convince people that the stone people used to guide us and talk to us, you know, it's not. We need to have our own spaces.
Right.
And so that's, to me, that's our foundation. Our foundation is that we're trying to teach the men that come to our program that it's about intention and knowledge, and it really is to inspire them to go home and learn their cultures. And yeah. A lot of people weren't raised in ceremony.
Exactly.
So,
you know, it's funny, we talk about the 38 plus 2 here in Minnesota, and my daughter's a drug and alcohol counselor up here, and she was saying that and she has a Native group, and so many of the Native people didn't know about that, or didn't know about mm-hmm. a few days later the wounded knee, you know, the slaughter of wounded knee. And so part of us being like way up there in addiction is that we don't know who we are.
I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, the books, you know, we have the guys read books. I mean, we're reading mm-hmm. Native authors, you know, we're listening to John Trudell.
You know, yeah.
we get to like decide the things that we want to teach and read, you know, the leaders we want to bring in. I mean, to me, it's really important to bring elders into our facility to talk about, you know, our history and our, you know, stories, right? You know, the ways we would have mm-hmm. passed on knowledge, and the way to hold ourselves. And for me, it's the more I've done ceremony, the more I've realized a lot of it is about intention, how I hold myself. You know, when I go to someone else's ceremony and I see that they need something, I offer to help always, you know, and mm-hmm. I realize if I can go chop wood, that is always helping, that it doesn't matter whose culture it is.
They right.
need men to act like men, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we got like 30 seconds left in the segment. I'd love to talk about how people can get in touch with you and talk a little bit more about our radio show that turns into a podcast immediately afterwards. So really exciting news, and you know, you're doing really good here. I think you're a pro now on the radio show. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Hey, right on. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back with Hunter Thundercloud and Thunder Maker Wellness Center. Ho-wa.
This is Leonard Peltier, and you are listening to Native Root Radio.
Hey. This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. And we are here with our friend Hunter Thundercloud, and we're talking about Thundermaker, a wellness center. And I want to talk a little bit about how people can get in touch with you and a little bit about that, and also talk a little bit in this last segment about the radio show and turning into a podcast and promoting good words and good health and things like that. So thanks again, Hunter, for coming on and talking about this. Okay, something happened with the mic there.
Oh, there we go.
Hey,
there we go. can we do it every single segment? Yes, we can.
Yes, that's awesome. You know, two of them were my fault here. All right, yeah.
So you can get a hold of Thundermaker Wellness. I think our website's a great resource, because if you're someone that wants to come or you have a family member, we actually have contact in a couple different ways. We have a form you can fill out to let us know where you are, who you are, what you need, kind of thing. So you can fill that out and we'll contact you. And you can always call. There's a phone number, and it's ThundermakerWellness.com. And we also have a social media, so Instagram and Facebook. So those are also places where it's Thundermaker Wellness. You should be able to, that we're, I think, easy to find. Che Jim is a social media influencer. He's also connected to Thundermaker. So he has probably a link on his, in some of his pictures, but if you look up Thundermaker on even LinkedIn, you know, we're on most of the social media platforms. So, and we're very responsive. So if you email us, we'll call you. That's thundermakerwellness.com. So,
excellent. Yeah. So what would be the process now, people listening to this? I have a family member or myself. Would we go to our tribe? Would we go to our insurance company? What do you see is like some of the ways that people can come to Thundermaker Wellness Center?
I would call us, and then I would also go to your behavioral health if you're a tribal member, and go to your behavioral health center, and you can usually you know, advocate for yourself on where you want to go. If you say, I want to go to a Native facility, you know, and this is where I want to go, they'll contact us, or if you put us in connection with us, we'll advocate for you too. And then a lot of tribes, depending on who they are, will help financially, or their state insurance. But I would use tribal resources as much as possible. And by contacting us, we were able to see what there is to help. Because every state has different insurance policies. I think if you're on private insurance, and you're on private insurance, you could just come usually. Like if you have a PPO, because we'd be out of network, we'd be able to take you automatically. So you wouldn't even have to call your tribe. So there are certain types of insurance that will automatically allow you to come no matter what.
So I call you and contact you, and you help facilitate and get through that red tape, which can sometimes be discouraging, especially if you're jonesing on need a beer or something, you know?
For sure. I mean, I think that's why it's really important that we connect with tribes, and tribes are willing to work with us. I mean, Because once we can decide that a tribe is working with us or willing to, I mean, if you call, we'd fly you out. I mean, mm-hmm. if we know that you're part of a network that we're within, you know, and that's what we want to create. We know that sometimes you only have a few hours.
Right.
And it's like, especially with, in my opinion, stuff like fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Fentanyl is not the same thing as we've experienced with other drugs. It's its own beast. You know, it's dangerous.
Right. Yeah. It really is dangerous. So that's exciting. And one of the things that we've talked about in the past is that it's not only get in touch with your community and also your native ways, but also you look for some vocation for people too. If they're in a place where they need to you know, I have you know, need to work, you know. Talk a little bit about that.
So we're developing a vocational program. I have two other businesses, and we're using those. We have a construction company and a moving business, and we're able to start creating jobs. So, you know, we want this to be a 2-year program, so people have the ability to stay. We know that transition is actually one of the issues with lots of people's sobriety. It's really hard to work on yourself when you're in this constant survival mode. And we know that if you have a stable place for a little bit of time, put down some roots, you can work on healing yourself. I mean, and so we want to provide a place where people can work after they've been in our program. So they can enter in, and we want to create these businesses that we're able to make sure that there isn't drug use in, make sure there isn't drinking, to make sure the people that are teaching or you know, are the head of our programs have the same mission and values and belief in mentorship, so that when people want to exit, they have an opportunity at work. One of the toughest things to get into construction is experience, you know, and right. We know if we can provide experience, that allows people opportunities once they exit.
Yeah, so. It's so important, because that's part of where we need more workers too, and it's the skilled workers is what you're talking about, that that really, you know, we don't have that many now in this generation.
We need people to maintain our houses. Yeah. You know, we need people to maintain our businesses. We need, you know, I think when I've seen tribes, right, we have one industry we've become successful in.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not usually the ones that are maintaining them or building them. And it's like we should be able to create an economy where we're building all of our own stuff. We're maintaining all of our own stuff. So.
Well, you know, we got just a minute left, and I want to give you the floor and speak your truth here. I just want to say, you know, at 6 p.m., Native Roots Radio is presenting, you know, your show, and we're really excited, and it's going to be twice a month, every other week, starting on the 7th. So we're really excited to promote what's going on at, you know, at Thundermaker, and what's going on in Arizona and what's going on with you. So we're really excited to partner with you.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. I mean, I'm excited about talking about kind of all the projects we're involved mm-hmm. in, you know, because we have people from lots of different places that want to help. So I'm excited to, show who we are, present ourselves to the world in a good way.
Well, we're going to leave it at that. Thank you so, so much. This has been a great show to start the new year out. Hunter Thundercloud, founder of Thundermaker Wellness Center and soon to be podcast radio host. Ho-wa! We'll see everyone in the new year. This has been Native Roots Radio. 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 Been Native Roots Radio.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, Robert.
How?
This portion of the show. Sorry, I was sleeping.
No.
This portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh no.
I forgot that I had to do that. Well, I haven't been on the air for a while.
That's all right.
It's kind of sleeping over here.
We've only been on for 9 years, so. After the 10th year, I think we'll get this
maybe
down.
Maybe I'll get it. I don't know. Maybe.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she is a co-founder of Native Roots Radio and Pilot's Progressive Party, that old radio show.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And, you know, the weather here has been like freezing cold. And we were learning about a blizzard, like what constitutes a blizzard. Now, we didn't have a blizzard here in St. Paul, Minnesota, but I think out west. West of us, they had blizzard conditions.
The Dakotas, it's wide open with no houses.
But I was really wondering, like, how the birds deal with blizzards, you know? Like, what do they do? But first, before I do that, do you remember any of the things that constitute a blizzard? The ones
well,
that we were talking about?
I think 3 hours of over 60-mile-an-hour winds.
35-mile, yeah. So sustained winds or frequent gusts of 35 miles an hour or more that lasts for more than 3 hours, significant falling and or blowing snow, reducing visibility. Visibility of a quarter mile or less. And these conditions last for at least 3 hours. The snowfall amount doesn't really mean anything. It's not technically part of the definition. It's all about the wind and the visibility that create the dangerous conditions. But I was really wondering, and I was just like, okay, what happens to our Minnesota birds? Because this morning, while we looked out back, I put like all new birds. Seeds. Well, you put the bird seed in the feeder, and then I have like a bird bath that I fill with bird seeds, and they were like 20 birds.
Yeah, hungry.
You know, eating all the stuff. We absolutely give them fresh water. They need fresh water because they could really die of dehydration during this time of year. So, if you could provide a source of water that doesn't freeze in 5 minutes, that'd be great. We have a heated water thing. But during a blizzard in Minnesota, birds have several survival strategies to stay safe and conserve energy. So one of them is they shelter in dense vegetation. They tuck into thick trees,
bushes.
Evergreen shrubs, cattail marshes, or dense hedges where wind and snow are blocked. I know a lot of the birds, I was just going to say that. Robert's pointing like to the front of our house, to the side. Our neighbor has hedges. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're called. They're pretty. He keeps them really nice, but they're really thick. And we see a lot of birds in there. So they must go in there when it's really windy and cold like that, right? Yeah. They use natural cavities and crevices. So woodpeckers, woodpecker holes, hollow tree trunks, rock crevices, and even abandoned squirrel nests provide insulated hideaways for the birds. And they huddle together. A lot of them, the smaller breeds, such as chickadees and new thatchers. I think that's how you say it. I'm not sure.
Chickadees.
I know. I love that. will love roost word. In groups, sharing body heat and reducing heat loss. And then they minimize their movement and they conserve energy. So birds lower their metabolic rate and stay still for long periods of time to save calories when food is hard to find.
Wow.
Yeah. So bonus, backyard shelters help Minnesota birds will also take advantage of human structures. So they'll go in the eaves of your house, the porches, right, garages. And if you have birdhouses out there, especially if there's feeders nearby, they'll look for places to, you know, hide and keep safe. But what it says here is that despite the brutal weather, local birds are incredibly well adapted to winter. Thick feathers and smart sheltering instincts help them ride out even the fiercest blizzard. So that's good to know that they're, you know, able to do that.
Because it gets cold here.
Yeah, it gets really cold. But our bird feeders today were going crazy. I mean, there were, I can't even tell you how many birds out there. So.
And the water.
Yeah, the water. They all drink the water, especially now and everything's frozen and it's below zero. So,
well, early in the morning before you got up and before I went out.
Which is not very early.
Before I went out and snow.
Don't tell my secrets.
Before I snowblowed, the crow was there.
Oh,
and squeaking.
Yeah.
And drinking water. Uh-huh. And there were no squirrels or any other birds or anybody because it was so cold. Yeah. But he was having a heyday. He came by and that's had so nice. Some peanuts. He loves those peanuts.
I love that.
Non-salted.
I know. I was reading an article, too. I want to talk to people about it since it's New Year's Eve, right? It's coming.
Almost.
It's going to be here. But I mean, I don't know a lot of people who set off fireworks for New Year's Eve, but I'm sure that they
do. Some
do.
It's gotten to be a thing now
that
you
mention
it.
So I really wanted to talk about what's going on. And it's some of this stuff is really hard to even read and learn about because I didn't even understand how these fireworks really affect animals as they do. I mean, we do talk about it all the time.
Only during the 4th, but New Year's
is
a
thing
too. I know.
I just didn't even think of it, you know, on my Facebook feed. It says every bird, deer, rabbit, fox, and owl with an earshot is going to have a panic attack, you know, with the fireworks. So what do the fireworks do to wildlife? Auditory trauma, especially birds. And I didn't know this. Birds' hearing are 10 times more sensitive than humans. So fireworks equal 150 to 175 decibels.
Hmm.
Yeah, mass panic. Entire flocks of birds will launch in darkness, right? They slam into buildings, trees, and even each other.
Hmm.
They abandon their nests because they get so scared. So the parents flee and the babies freeze to death alone. Heart attacks. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, listen to this. Small mammals like rabbits, squirrels, literally die from fear-induced cardiac arrest. Disorientation. Nocturnal animals can't navigate with explosions and the light in the air.
Mm.
Listen to this. 1,000 birds died in one Arkansas town on New Year's Day in 2011.
Huh.
Fireworks cause mass collision. Wildlife rescue calls spiked 500% on January 1st. Deer run into the highways, right? They're panicked by the explosions. Not only do they run into the highways, then they're hitting cars, right? So it's not even their deaths. People are in danger, too. Birds abandoned nests. The chickens, the little chicks freeze. Small animals. Stress hormones stay elevated for 7 to 10 days after impact. So they're stressed out. They're having trouble foraging, getting food, right? Their immune system's low. They're getting sick. So it's really, if you plan on doing fireworks, maybe you think, maybe not this year, or, you know.
Yeah, think about it. And
just think about it.
Our vets, too. Our veterans.
Veterans who have PTSD.
Yes.
Absolutely. People who have PTSD. Just, I can't take the sound of the fireworks. Just learning about just a few things, and now this, it's terrifying.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Stately and you, Wendy, for coming on. Great show. Great information. We're going to be live again tomorrow, and we're going to take a few days off again for the new year. And I hope everybody has a good new year and This is Native Roots Radio, and you know, I just want to say a humpy jaina, which means nice day in Ho-Chunk.
Oh, nice. Happy New Year.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.